Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Oh, it's so good to be in Liverpool. Let's give the band a hand. Well done, well done, well done. Oh, please take your seats. Oh, it is so good to be in Liverpool. It has been too long. I think it was last July or August. Yes. And I haven't been anywhere, actually. I've been in Sheffield. And Pastor Dave said, Louise, because we want you to build Sheffield. But you know what? I've got a sneaky feeling that you've been texting him, haven't you? Going, time out. Time out. We've had enough of the red and black one. But your time out is over. I'm back. Bolder. And louder. So getting here this morning from Sheffield, what a palaver. What a palaver. Yeah, because you know that I'm really posh and I live in a cul-de-sac on top of a hill. Well, that's great, you know, when you're sipping on your Earl Grey tea and, you know, admiring your rockery. But in snow, that's not good. And when I saw the snow yesterday, my heart sank because I knew that to get to Liverpool, we would have to dig the road. And that's what we did. Myself, my husband Chris, my dad, we took 3 hours to get our car onto the main road. Now, I look good on it, don't I, church? You know what I mean? Look good on it. Bit of colour in my cheeks, but oh, let me tell you about Chris. I'm not kidding, but you blokes are really dramatic. So, like, this morning, this is Chris. He's like, I can't walk. And he had to actually sit down on a chair and I've had to put his socks on. That's Chris 4 years. So he's got both kids. So I'll have to make this short because by the time I get home, he'll be like, this Louise, I'm on the edge. I'm on the edge. I can't walk and I've got two kids. So yeah, it's good to be here. Brought my mum, Janet. Two reasons. Number one, you're really scary. And number two, my dad, even though I'm 40 years old, he still frets. And he goes, Louise, you are not going on that motorway. You are not driving through the snow on your own. So I've brought a 4'10", 65-year-old with me. Yeah, Dad, we'll be all right. You've lost your daughter and your wife. It's all right. Actually, Mum, I think Dad did that on purpose. Could get rid of them both. Could get rid of them both in one fell swoop. So that's good. Oh, so let me rave about you a bit. I love you. I think you're brilliant. And it is so good to be here in Liverpool. I've got a bit of a word for you. Now, if I was a clever preacher, I would, you know, weave this into my message. But I'm not, so I'm just going to share it, if that's all right. Okay, I was praying for you guys last night, and God really gave me this passage from Isaiah 43, and it says this, verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And I just really want to speak to you as a leader in this place. And I know that as a congregation, we're going through a season of transition. But, you know, when I was praying for you last night, I really felt as though God was saying, please forget the former things. Now, that doesn't say that you've got to forget Roger. All right. Roger, you know, when he comes in on the car park, Ronnie, still save this bloke's space. You know, when he comes through these doors, he can still have a chocolate. All right. Right. Don't take it too literally. All right. But what God would say to you is that these last 10 years as Hope City Liverpool, it's been a foundation for what he's going to do. And he wants to do a new thing. But if God's going to do a new thing, then we've got to be a people who can perceive it. And what God would say is, don't look to the former things. There have been great days. We have had fantastic days as Hope City Liverpool. But God says, I am going to do a new thing. He is making a way in the wastelands. He is providing streams. And those streams are streams of influence and salvation. And you know what? When you move into your new venue, and you will have a new venue, Hope City Liverpool, you're going to be amazed by what God is going to do, because we have just seen a glimmer of what God's done in the last 10 years. And he said, yeah, I can build on this. I can build on this foundation. And so the things that we found hard in the last 10 years are going to be an easy thing. You're going to see your friends come to God. We're going to see money pouring into this place. And so I would encourage you this morning, keep your eyes open, keep your heart open to God, because he wants to show you. He wants to show you the new thing. And when you see that new thing, just as Anya so brilliantly shared this morning, I want you to have courage. I want you to take heart, and I want you to step into it confident, knowing that God is going to do the spectacular. That's got nothing to do with my message. See, I couldn't weave it in, because it's got nothing to do with that. So I just thought I'd get that out of my system. And we'll start. You're all ready now. Have you got your notebooks? Okay, so, you know, being quite topical, I thought I would share a snow story. So every few weeks, I am on BBC Radio Sheffield. I know. It's not because I'm influential or, you know, I've got anything good to say. I've been reliably informed by the producers. I'm on it because I'm gobby. And that's what he told me last week. We like you, Louise, because you're gobby. And so anyway, every six weeks I got on Roni's panel, which to me is Gorilla Christian. And on the Saturday night, they always email you the topics of the day that they want you to discuss. And I try and leave it as long as possible, because otherwise I'd be thinking about it all day. So anyway, this particular Saturday night, I looked at my emails. I saw what we were going to talk about. Normally talk about sex or the Pope, not the two together. And sure enough, it's the one topic that I love to talk about. Same-sex relationships. My heart sank. I thought, oh, man, no. There's a lot of, I don't mind talking about these things, but my own sister, Alison's gay. She's in a civil ceremony. We all live in Sheffield. Everyone knows us. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. So I said, right, God, all right. I said, I'll do it. I will do it on one condition, that you have to protect my family. I will do it, but you have to protect my family. So anyway, the next day, Sunday morning, just about to drive, BBC Radio Sheffield, there's snow. Snow. And anyway, posh cul-de-sac, top of the hill. I thought, well, I've got to go. So anyway, I'm going down the hill, and my car starts turning, and I'm going down, and I press my foot on the brake, and I thought, oh, right, we've stopped, because there's all these parked cars. And mobility things. You have to come on our street to appreciate that. Right. So I am going to crash into a car. And I put my handbrake on and the car's still sliding. So the only thing that is stopping the car going down the road backwards is my foot on the handbrake. So I get my mobile. I phone Chris, my husband. Help! Like this. And he says, what am I going to do, Luke? I've got the two kids. I said, Chris, just go and knock on the cul-de-sac. Go and knock them up. No, knock them up. Although that would make BBC Radio Sheffield News. They're all in the 70s. So anyway, he's knocking on the doors, and no one answers. No one answers. So what do you do in that situation? You ring your mum and dad. So there, you know that? You know that scene from Only Fools and Horses when they're dressed as Batman and Robin? They're like this, my mum and dad, in the pyjamas, running up the road in the snow. So anyway, dad and mum, and oh, it's such a drama. We managed to get the car down the road. And by the end of it, it would have meant that I would have been 45 minutes late for the programme. So I went, God, I'm taking that as a no, that I'm not supposed to be there. But I just want to talk to you about my neighbours, because I often preach about my neighbours, don't I? I tell you about the times where my kids do the drawings and I pop them through their letterbox. I tell you about the times when we bake for the street. I tell you about the times that I give them all a Christmas present. On Friday night, me and Thomas in the snow taking a marigold that we bought for them from the plant sale. And you know what? My husband knocked on all their doors in my time of need and they didn't answer. Now, as a Christian preacher, I have to be very gracious about this. What a bunch of rat bags! Bless them, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now, listen, that's not good, is it? Someone's knocking on your door and they're not answering. But you know what, Hope City? Someone's knocking on our door this morning. And my question is, are you going to answer the call? It says this in Revelation 3, verse 20. Here I am. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You see, Jesus loves you and he longs to be in an intimate relationship with you. He wants to tell you that he loves you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to help you raise your kids. He wants to hear your concerns, your cares. He wants to guide you in your workplace. He wants to hear about your day. He wants to bless you. And he wants to be with you. The question is, will you open the door? See, he doesn't want to talk to you through the keyhole. Hello, it's Jesus. He doesn't want to pop his toes through the gap. He wants to fling open the door, to walk into the very center of your life with arms laden with choice food and drink. It's First Fruit Sunday, and Jesus is at the door. He's knocking, and he wants you to open the door. He wants to come into the center of your life, and he wants to talk to you about First Fruits. He wants to reposition you, because there's a group of people in this room and you haven't been sowing seeds. And Jesus says to you this morning, come on, let's sow the seeds. For some of us, we've really struggled with our giving. And Jesus says to us this morning, come on, we can do this. You see, some of us have come with the intention of not giving. And Jesus says, give something. Some have come with the intention of giving but won't because you're fearful. And Jesus says, do not doubt. I will fulfill the promise. Some have come with the intention of giving a little. And Jesus says, give sacrificially. It's time to surrender. And some of us have come with the intention of giving our best. And Jesus says, I like that. I like it a lot. What is Jesus saying to you today? What does he want you to do? Why not open the door, ask him in, and find out? Today's passage that we're going to look at is about a woman who opened the door. She let God in. She listened to the word. She gave her first. God rewarded her faith, and the rest is history. And we'll read her story in 1 Kings 17, and we're going to start from verse 7. And the passage about Elijah and the widow. Here we go. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and please bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son. Then we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make me a small loaf of bread from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You see, when the widow opened the door to God, she had three things. The first thing that she had was an open ear. It says in verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah had told her, so that there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. You see, the widow listened to God's messenger. She'd heard the word of the Lord, you know, and she offered her flour and her oil. And God speaks to us in many ways, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, other people. And we need to listen and act upon his word, not our feelings, not our circumstances, but his word. Now, as part of my role in Sheffield, I represent Hope City on churches together in Sheffield S2, and that's basically when all the Catholics and the Methodists and the Anglicans and the oddballs come together. And let me think of a really gracious way of putting it. No, I can't. So every year I go to the Women's World Day of Prayer. Glory. You just say, "Oh God, just take me now." And I just sit there and I go, "God, are you here? Are you here?" Well, anyway, what this one that's just gone past, we're learning about the women in France. And it's really boring. And I'm there tweeting. And as I'm tweeting, I'm feeling a nudge of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you get that impression, don't you? He probably says something like, "Steve, my beloved child. Georgia, my precious one." When the Holy Spirit spoke to me that night, he went, "Oi, are you listening?" And I thought, you know what? I'm not. I'm in a blooming church service and I'm not listening. I'm not open to God. And God said, "You know what, Lou? I want to speak to you." And so often we can be here in church. We can be raising our hands and we can be going through the motions when in fact we've shut the door on God. We're closed. We're not listening. And God wants to speak to us. You know, some of us are not listening, and perhaps it's because we're tired. You say, "God, I can't do any more." And God says to us this morning, you know, "Come to me, all you are burdened, and I will give you rest. Open the door." Some of us may be disappointed. "God, you know what? I've listened to you, I've acted on it, and it hasn't worked out how I wanted to." But God says to us, "I will not let your foot slip. I watch over you as you slumber. I am faithful. Open the door." Some of us might be a bit rebellious, thinking, "I don't want to listen to you, God. I want to do things my own way." And God says, "You know what? I love you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to give you life, life to the full. Open the door." One of my favorite passages in the Bible is a story in 1 Samuel where there's this little boy called Samuel and he's asleep and he hears this voice, "Samuel," and he gets up and he runs to his master Eli and Eli goes, "It's not me." And so Samuel goes back to bed and he hears the voice, "Samuel," and he goes back to Eli and Eli's going, "It's not me, go back to bed." So Samuel goes back to bed and he hears the voice, "Samuel," and he goes back to Eli and Eli says, "You know what, this could be God. So if you hear that voice again, say these words, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And God is saying, "Andy, Alex, Vicky, Di." And we've got to be a people who say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You see, the wisdom that you need for your family, school, and workplace, it's here. if you are listening. The word of encouragement you need to get through this difficult week, it's here if you're listening. The guidance you need for this first fruits offering, it's here if you're listening. I remember a couple of years ago, my car got written off by an articulated lorry. And this is a timeline. On the Friday, I got the check. Thank you very much. On the Saturday, I saw the car that I wanted. On the Sunday, I was in church and Pastor Dave said, "We're taking up a special offering." And I felt it. I really felt as though God was saying, "Lou, put your car in the offering." And we're, "No! No!" And then my husband, Chris, passed me a note and he says, "Lou, I think we should put the car in the offering." See how he don't put his blooming car in the offering? I thought, all right, God, all right, you know, what? All right, if I keep saying no, he might send red arrows through, you know, the auditorium with red smoke. Cough up, love, do you know? They're all right, so we put our car in the offering. Within a month, someone in Hope City Church gave me a check for the exact same amount that we put in this morning. What is God saying to you right now? Are you listening? What is God saying to you about your life, your relationships, your first fruits? He's speaking words that will change your life, your city, and your nation. Do you hear it? The door is, there's a knock on the door. It's Jesus. It's time to open the door. The second thing that she had was an open hand. Verse 12, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in the jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." What I love about this story is that the widow didn't hold back. She gave everything she had. In her hand, she had some flour and she had some oil. And she offered it all. What is in your hand? You see, when I married Chris 13 years ago, I stood up in front of the church before God and before Chris, and I said, "Chris, whatever I have now is yours. My house is yours. My money is yours. My destiny is yours. We're in this together." And that's intimacy. And when I gave my life to God 27 years ago, I opened the door. He came into the center of my life. And I said to God, "This is all yours now. My life, my family, my future, my relationship. It is yours." That is intimacy. Nothing is off limits. Now, in my house, next to my microwave, is a cookie jar. And that's where we keep all the biscuits and the sweets. And ever so often, my six-year-old Thomas will come into the kitchen. And when he wants something from the cookie jar, he doesn't just boldly go up to it. There's something like this. And I say, "No, wait until after tea." So then my two-year-old Fionn, she'll come in like this. And I'll go, "No, after tea." That'll be on my gravestone. After tea. It's my mantra. But you know what? God's trying to get into your cookie jar, isn't he? There's stuff in there. It might be your money. It might be your relationships. It might be your career. And he's like this. And you're going, "No!" And you're not saying after tea either, are you? But you know what? We give God our entire life. This is what it says in Psalm 143, verse 8. "Let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." There shouldn't be any area of my life that is off limits to God. God has the right to come in and challenge my life on any front. My money, it is God's. My marriage, it is God's. My job, it is God. My cul-de-sac, bless them, it's God's. Now, when I was getting married to Chris, we'd got this amazing reception venue, Willowbrook Hall. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's like this stately home and it's got these beautiful grounds. And it had such a significance for us because that's the place where Chris got down on bended knee
I said, will you marry me?
And I went, yeah, all right then. And so it's a really, really good. So anyway, I'm in this meeting. Oh, I should stop coming to church because it costs me money, I tell you. Because I'm in this meeting and I just really feel as though God's saying, Lou, I don't want you to have your reception at that venue. What I want you to do, all the money that you've got for your wedding, I want you to put in this offering and I want you to have your reception at the mega centre. His hands well and truly in the cookie jar there. And I went, all right, but you're going to have to talk to Chris. If Chris says something, we'll do it. So anyway, Chris was giving me a lift home and he said, Lou, do you know what? I just really feel as though God's saying that we shouldn't have our wedding at Whirlabrook, but we should have it at the mega centre and all the money that we were going to put in the wedding should go into the offering. Our wedding day was amazing. People still talk about my wedding day 13 years on because you could sense the presence of God, the tangible presence of God. And so I might not have had the fancy tables and the fancy food. You know, we had, you know, a bit of quiche. But I had the presence of God. God is the Lord of every area of my life. I invited him through the door. And everything is up for grabs. I don't want to withhold. I want to be faithful with what God's placed in my hand. My career, my relationships, my first fruits, it's yours. Can you hear it? There's a knock on the door. Jesus is there. It's time to open the door. The third thing that she had was an open lap. It says in verse 16, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You see, when the widow gave her all, she acted in faith. She discovered that God turned up, that he poured blessing into her lap. This is what it says in Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. You see, here's a biblical principle. God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. And the moment that you step out in faith and trust God is when you will see God move in your life. Now, can you remember when you were in school and you did that science that experiment where you've got a little magnet with the iron filings? You remember that? And you put the magnet near the iron filings and they would like leap up and attach themselves. That's what faith is like. The moment that you step out in faith, you become a magnet for the supernatural, and you're going to see finance and blessing and influence attach themselves to your lives. So if God has spoken about a new job, step out. If God has asked you to speak to someone about him, step out. If God has asked you to give, step out. This is what it says in Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. This is the word of God to us this morning, church. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see, the magnet is your first fruits. It's the faith that when you give off your very best, when you give your first, that's a magnet. And what are the iron filings? Well, it's your barns filled to overflowing. Now, my house is a bit of a labour of love. We moved in 2 weeks before Thomas was due. It's very dramatic, very dramatic. I phoned up the solicitor and I said, you get me in that house now, otherwise I'm coming to your office and giving birth on your carpet. And that worked, and we got in. So it's been this labour of love, and it would be a lot quicker if I didn't keep putting things in the blooming offerings, but I love it. I just love giving. Anyway, we've got rid of the demonic fireplace in the front room, and it's lovely. We've got a floor, we've got settees, but uh-oh, we've got mismatching furniture. So anyway, this month, the month of March 2013, is the month that I get that furniture. Oh, but I've got a small problem with that, because God... If the dog had been knocking on my door, then we'd be on BBC Radio Sheffield with that. God has been knocking on my door. I let him in and we've had a bit of a chat about it. And God said, you know what, Lou? that money that you set aside for that furniture, that's your first fruits money. And I went, yeah, that's all right. Now look at my face. Is it bothered? No, it's not. I am confident. If God can give me the wedding of my dreams, if God can give me a car, if God can give me a trip to New York, if God can give me a settee, if God can give me a new TV, if God can give me a wooden floor, he certainly can give me a walnut sideboard, a coffee table, and a media table from Tesco Direct. Yes, he can. I want to be a woman known for seeking first his kingdom, not my ideal home. Because every time I delight myself in the Lord, we're talking about devotion here, church. Every time I delight myself in the Lord, he does give me the desires of my heart. Every time I have an open ear, an open hand, he pours back finance and blessing into my lap. So this morning in First Fruits, don't give out of compulsion or pity for victims of human trafficking. Don't give for the people of London. That's what this isn't about. Yes, it will happen, but this is about us and the devotion of our hearts. Let's give in faith. God has spoken. You have listened. You have acted. And watch for how the iron filings of finance, freedom, and authority attach themselves to your life. Can you hear the knocking on the door? It's Jesus. It's time to open the door. Have you ever walked past a shop which has a sign on it, you know, out for lunch? Some of us have had that sign on the door of our lives. But it's time to flip the sign open to say, open for business. Open to be used by God. Open for my finances to be used by God. Open for the city to change through my life. Hope City, we are an open people. On open people, God opens a door for finances, influence, and relationship. On open people, God opens a door for Liverpool, new level, new venue, new anointing. On open people, God opens a door for London, this nation. And on open people, God opens a door for Ghana and the nations. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Can you hear the knocking? Turn the handle. Let Jesus in. It's party time. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I thank you that you love us. That you think that we're 10 out of 10. And God, we do hear the door. We hear the knocking of the door. And Father, we turn the handle. We open it. And we let you in. Fear be gone in Jesus' name. Disappointment be gone in Jesus' name. Tiredness be gone in the name of Jesus. We're listening. We're open. We're open for business. God, we're available. Would you use us powerfully in this city, in the nation, and the nations? In our hand, we have our flower and our oil. We offer it to you right now, fully confident that you're going to look after us, that you're going to bless us. Here it is. It's yours. Use it. We're open, God. We're an open people. Father, we declare open doors in this city. Open doors in our lives. Open doors in this nation. And open doors to the nations. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.